Aalto University Podcast.
In 2021, Merita Petäjä and her team started the Oasis of Radical Wellbeing project. During this time, Oasis has explored well-being issues at Aalto University from many perspectives, be it as diversity and inclusion, harassment, safer space, or mindfulness. Oasis has conducted pilots and observed how staff and students' well-being issues are talked about and developed. Today we will talk about well-being, social sustainability, and also about piloting and what they have to do with the future. My name is Riikka Evans, and this is Future-Led Learning Podcast. Welcome aboard.
Future-Led Learning
by Aalto University.
Hi, Merita.
Hi, Riikka.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's a slushy, dark day, but here we are at Marcio Aalto University.
Yeah, and I think it's a great day to talk about radical well-being, and that's why we're here today.
Yeah, in this darkness, we really need the light and shiny thoughts.
Absolutely. In 2021, your team started the Oasis of Radical Wellbeing project. Can you tell me what is radical well-being and what's it all about?
It's a living thing, I must say. And I'd like to talk about how I see it now.
Absolutely, please.
So radical well-being, really, it's a shift in thinking. It's a radical shift talking about the paradigm around well-being. So well-being is not only for promoting our personal success or our ego or our hedonistic needs. If we consciously take time and take care of ourselves, use self-care methods, learn to know ourselves and lead ourselves in a better way, that means that then we will have resources to bring something to our community, and that will help us to make our goals more active as a community, and we can work towards things like inclusion, towards solving the issues dealing with eco crisis. We can take action. We are empowered, but we also can empower others in really making the changes. So it's not for me. It's about us.
So this is the Future-Led Learning Podcast. Why do you think being issues are important, especially in future leadership?
In future leadership, they are really important. If we think from the future perspective, we need to think that what kind of skills do we need to really be able to answer to the, or find solutions to these wicked problems that we have nowadays. And we are in the midst of many troubles for the moment. And if we try only by looking back data to the history, trying to solve these issues, that's not going to work out. So we really need to intuitively try to see how the world will be like 10 years from now and what needs to be done so that we survive with all these issues that we have around. And that's possible by transformative learning. So it's not only pouring knowledge, but it's really learning skills to reflect, share thoughts, ask difficult questions, define the power that we see within our class, within the organization, within the world where we are, that we can raise questions and talk about difficult issues. And it also means that we can take different perspectives. So for example, at Aalto University, this is an international community, and we have lots of people from different cultures and people that are not represented in the power circles. So if we can listen to what there is and really bring ourselves together in listening, in belonging together, working towards the solutions together, we can find ways to get through these crises.
So if we look at it in practice and through the project of Oasis of Radical Wellbeing, what have you found?
One of the biggest learnings has been that when we start to work across silos, for example, in an organization, we see how we have created small bubbles and the bubbles work towards their own goals, but the goals are not necessarily shared, and that we need to come from the everyday busyness to share our thoughts. And sometimes we even need to learn a new language to understand each other, even though we might speak same language. The words have so different meaning within a big organization that we really need to struggle. And that means that we need to switch our perspective of meanings. For example, in this project, we have had people working from different cultures, and we've learned a lot from these student workers who look at the issues from very different perspective.
How do you find psychological safety in those kind of circumstances where you have different kind of worldviews or mindsets?
I find that this psychological safety has been one of the keys to our success in our team. It does not mean that some issues are not allowed, but on the contrary, it gives this opportunity that we can bring different approaches and we can really argue at some times. We have had tough arguments and really confronting each other and bringing different ways of working together. But then because of this psychological safety, respect and willingness to listen to the other and understand the point of view of the other person, having compassion towards ourselves and towards each other, has made it possible that we have gotten through. So I think if we could learn to bring this psychological safety to the groups that we work with everywhere, that would give us a lot of hope for our survival.
To me, it sounds like you want to foster curiosity.
Oh, that's a nice way of putting it. Yes, curiosity and openness. So one of the gurus that has helped us in this development is Otto Scharmer, and he talks about listening and seeing and sensing what there really is. And that really, if you can do it, you need to open up your mind and you need to listen to totally different approaches. Sometimes they are really tough because we have these political issues, people from opposite sides, for example, at the same table.
You mentioned the senior lecturer from MIT, Otto Scharmer. Can you tell me who he is and why do you refer to him, to his ideas?
Otto Scharmer has really given a lot of help because he provides a roadmap for change makers. And his point is really observing the system as it is from multiple viewpoints. And as I mentioned already, it's like sensing, seeing, listening, looking at the data, but looking at also people, looking at what issues there are, hearing what people say, and letting the people say aloud, letting the students say aloud the issues that they are concerned about, not blocking them out. We can find the presence of mind. And in this moment of presence of mind, something from the future can appear. Presensing, connecting to the deeper sense of knowing, pausing and reflecting. It's not anything magical. You can use intuition, but that can also sometimes mislead us. So it is really like stopping and reflecting what there is, silencing. And sometimes you need to let go of the assumptions that you had. So when you let go, something might really come. So letting go, letting come. And Otto Scharmer, as an engineering background, he takes action and his model is really prototyping the new ways of doing. This is what we have used in Oasis. We have done 50-60 prototypes of different things where we have tried to do things in another way. And we have gained a lot of learning and information and understanding because you also start to see the system more clearly when you try to change it.
So piloting and prototyping has been the core of your project. What has this piloting been like in actual practice? How do you prototype when we're dealing with radical well-being type of issues?
I'll give a few examples. One lovely thing that we did with the student ambassadors, they ideated together with the other students a safer space project where they did artistic cartoons about people coming from space to Aalto University, and they experience prejudice and so forth. I love this idea that came from them, that they didn't take of any other unrepresented group as an example, but they chose people that come from space. And that has given us chance to talk about what safer space means in classes, in everywhere. Also on a free time for students in parties and so forth. So it's also tackling with harassment issues and difficult cases like that. So that's one example. And another kind of pilot that we have has got to do with the programs that we have at Aalto University. So we have 130 study programs, and we did research about how these programs could flourish and what are the prerequisites, or how can we help the programs. And the basic finding was really that people make the programs. So by interviewing program managers, we got a lot of information about that. They need to have certain resources and they need to be respected at the university. Those premises need to be fine, but then it's a lot how people cooperate together, how the programs flourish.
Emotionally, Merita, what has been the best part and experience that Oasis has brought to you?
I must say that it is this transformative learning also for myself. So I can't anymore go to the point where I was 4 years ago. I'm here now at the moment. And radical well-being in Oasis, that's a living thing. We have one foot in the future when we are doing this. And therefore, it's all the time developing, evolving. And for me, the strong emotional moments have been those when I have realized that I have thoughts that I need to let go of. And the best teachers for me have been our student workers, who have brought totally new understanding for me of the many issues where you can think of in a different way, also way of working, that in some of the occasions has been very different from what I thought was the right Finnish way of working.
Can you give us an example?
No. That's fine. They have been quite hurtful experiences, and so not easy, and they have needed time for me to swallow the learnings. So I think that learning doesn't need to be nice. If it really changes your perspective of meanings, that shakes you innerly.
I would agree with that. I think learning can be both nice, or sometimes it can be even painful, as long as you do the self-reflection on what did it really mean to you? What did you learn here?
I think it's nice if you can add things to the perspective that you have. If you look at the sea and you see the horizon, and then you add on, that's the moon, okay, and that's an island, and there's a little boat going there, and everything fits to my perspective, then the learning is nice. And most of the learning is like that. But when it becomes transformative, it switches the perspective, and that's hurtful.
Does it always have to be hurtful?
I think so, but we can learn to live with it. We can have this curious attitude, open mind attitude. Okay, that's shaking me, but I can live with that. So maybe hurtful is a strong word. Shaking.
It seems like it requires quite a lot of resilience. So how do we teach this to Aaltonians?
By focusing on self-care. So when we think of self-care, we need a few things. One of them is that each individual needs some support to work on the values. The values and the cultural identity cannot be totally clear, because those things are also in movement. But if you're connected with your cultural identity and your own values, you're much stronger. And then you need ways and tools of coping with difficulties. And that means that you need to have skills of dealing with difficult feelings, dealing with your anger, dealing with loss, sadness, all kinds of things that happen to you, and how you work with those feelings. And then you need social resources. You need friends. You need people. You need groups where you feel that you belong to. You need to feel loved, and you need to love someone. And you also need ways of expressing creativity. That can be like everyday problem solving. But these are issues of radical self-care. And I do wish that we could teach these skills to everyone, the staff, the academics, the students here at Aalto University. And that means that individually we can flourish. And when we can individually flourish, we can bring something to the community where we are.
You mentioned earlier the meaning of belonging. Could you tell me more about that?
Oh, yes. I'm really happy to talk about belongingness. So there are many perspectives to it. There's been a lot of research done about, for example, belongingness of students to the university. And we know that if the students feel connected to the program, that they study better, they do better, their well-being is better. But there are also broader aspects to this belongingness, and it's got to do with our social sustainability as people. In my view, creating belongingness can be also a solution, how we can take steps towards the future. And now I'm referring to Nobel laureate Ilya Prigozhin, who says that small islands of coherence in a sea of chaos have the capacity to lift the entire system to a higher order. And this is really important for us when our systems are now far from this equilibrium. So if we're able to build, let's say, small islands of coherence, people who feel belongingness, and they represent all kinds of people with all kinds of capacities and from different cultures, these groups can really make a change. They can lift up the whole system that is tipping. But these small islands of coherence, they need to be connected. And if they are connected, they get more powerful agency to take action and make changes. And these things are something that we can really take responsibility at the university, because we are really international and we contain these lovely, talented, wonderful people here. Sometimes they are alone and they don't find each other. But when we make it possible, getting people together in the right moment, then we make it possible that these coherent islands are born. And we need initiative takers also in the future. We need stamina of individuals, and we need groups that bravely work across silos. We do need this attitude of listening and caring, and we need this transformative learning, switching, the living thing thought of radical well-being. We need nurturing the initiatives, and sometimes we need to go on barricades to support the planetary well-being.
You mentioned that these are important for the future, and our university has the future leaders here. Could you give us examples? What kind of skills does it actually require from our future leaders?
Imagining looking at the planet from the perspective of space, for example. What would our planet need for us to do to survive? So this planetary well-being, we need both people and the planet so that we can thrive together. And this really requires a shift towards thinking and acting together, people and the planet together, thinking big. And we have here people who have the capacity to think big. Our well-being is really linked to the health of the Earth. So understanding this issue and answering questions from the future perspective can make the change.
Now that the Oasis is ending, I'm sure you guys have a lot of materials built up. Can you give us an example?
You're what asking is there? The producer now.
Okay. Yes, I'm asking the producer now, Saku.
Thank you. So one of the things that we've been doing is recording podcasts and disseminating the message of future-led learning in this way. That's one thing, but there's so many things. Merita, is there anything that you would like to pick up from what we've been doing? So
we have this Art of Living MOOC by Frank Martela that you did.
The Art of Living MOOC is Frank Martela's very successful lecture now in English in digital form as a MOOC, and everyone in the world can do that. So maybe if you're listening to this, go there and log on. This is my job. Try to tell people to do this.
We have had this future-led learning podcast series, and Riikka, you've been leading us through it, and it's been really great. And I think that this is also something that when I was listening a couple of days ago, one of these podcasts, I really felt that they are very up to date. It would be great to hear some of your thoughts. What have you learned during the process of making these podcasts?
I like this. No one asked Riikka anything.
I've always been the one asking questions. Thank you, Merita. That's a very nice thing that you guys are asking this from me. My background is as a pedagogical specialist. I look at it always from the teaching perspective, but I've learned so much of how we can, as a community, learn together, and how we can learn from the students, and how we can learn from our teachers, and how we can actually really try to thrive. I would like to encourage our teachers to explore this sort of media in their teaching, because sometimes it's easier to listen than to, for example, just watch videos or read your lecture notes. It's an interesting experience and definitely something worth testing.
Lovely to hear. Can I have the closing words?
Absolutely.
We need really stamina to confront the power systems, guide people to edge of their comfort zones, to search their and reflect on their identity, confront and disrupt their personal assumptions, discussing conflicting perspectives, give attention to underrepresented voices. We need cultural sensitivity. Yeah, we need to empower ourselves to have this radical well-being as a living thing in our hearts.
Thank you, Merita.
Thank you, Riikka and Saku.
Thank you.
Aalto University Podcast.